Hi, everybody. This is Rita Prazeres Gonçalves, linguist and senior talent management consultant. In this podcast, I have conversations with language professionals who are willing to talk about their experience, their knowledge, and their strategies to navigate the ever-changing language industry. This is also a space where I can learn and share my insights. I have been working with LSPs, enterprise clients, and freelancers for over 20 years, and my main focus is talent management for the localization industry. Let's get to know some of the most interesting people in our field: translators, company owners, association representatives, and community builders. This is The Language Worker. This podcast is also available as a video cast on YouTube. Hi, everybody. So today I have two amazing guests. This is our first time talking to each other. So this is brand new for all of us to be together in a conversation. So we didn't do any prepping or anything like that. You know how I usually like doing things. So this is another one of those episodes where I get to meet the guests exactly as you guys do. So this is something I really enjoy. So I actually connected with Julia over LinkedIn and we started talking. And then I was like, this would be great if I could invite her. Apparently, she already knows the podcast. So this is great news. So I thought it was going to be a great idea. And then I said, well, if you have somebody else in the company who's interested, just invite them. And that's how she invited Fernanda. Of course, they're Brazilian, but we decided to speak in English. So we do this every now and then, as we know, that the guests can speak Portuguese. I can speak Portuguese, but we decided to do it in English just for the purpose of more people apparently, tuning in and getting to know us better. So that's the story. So thank you so much, Julia and Fernanda. I will start by asking Fernanda to present herself because I mean Julia, because she's the first person I connected with. So that's the reason why this is happening in this order, no other reason. So who is Julia? This is the typical podcast beginning, right? So we're gonna do it by the book today.
Hi, Rita. Hi, everyone. So I'm Julia Brita. It's funny because my name kind of changes when we speak different languages, but it's actually Julia. I say that because I went to Peru on March, and my name is Julia, and I hate it. I completely hate my name in Spanish, so. But yeah, I'm a project manager at Wordlink, and I'm here today with my co-worker, my great friend, Fernanda. So, Fernanda.
Yeah, so let's see who Fernanda is. I guess she's also project manager, right?
Yes, almost 15 years. It's been a while. Well, it's so hard to talk about yourself, I mean.
I know, it's the hardest question. So let's see. I'll ask questions instead of asking you to speak, right? So I guess that's the best way. So let's see how you guys got into this language thing, because I was also a project manager for several years, and it's one of the things I wanted the most was to have project managers on the podcast, because I really think that it's like that job that makes the translation industry go around, right? That's how I see it, because it's like the person or the people who have to know everything about everything involved in the project. So it's like a unique situation to be in. So I'll just go with that. So, Julia, how did you? Well, let's start with the beginning. In the beginning, Julia was a child who was interested in languages, or she didn't care about that stuff.
No, actually, I had the opportunity to, I had a scholarship to learn English and also Spanish. So I took it and I learned it. And
Were you very young when that happened? Was this already
yeah,
when you were in college?
I was very young. My mom put me on this English course. I was about maybe 6 years. So yeah, I was really young. And then I did all the courses they had there. Also the teacher training course. So after that, they hired me when I finished it. I was 18 at the time. So I worked as a teacher for like 2 years, more or less, teaching English. And then I started to college. I went to college and specifically for translation. But I really didn't know what I what I wanted to do until my last year in high school. And that year, that last year, the Portuguese teacher was a translator for Russian, and I didn't know it exists, like most of the people. And he said so many things, like how Russian language you speak differently because there it's cold, so the voice, the sounds of the language came from the throat, because it was a cold place, so they had to like keep it warm. That's why the R are more marked. So I was fascinated about it. And I came home, I searched, and I found that Pontifícia Universidade Católica from Rio had the bachelor's degree in translation specifically. So I went there, and during I think I was on the second year, I started as an internship at WordLink. So I'm here
Wow.
since.
Since the beginning of times, of your times as a translator. Okay. So what about Fernanda? Well, let's go back and see what happened before college. Were you always inclined to studying languages? Was that your desire? It happened by chance. So what was it?
Well, I always liked languages, and I always had an affinity to it. So I was self-teaching since very young because I listened to music. Because when you said Madonna had been your English teacher, I
Forever.
remember that immediately because I would listen to music and would write down the lyrics and then would go to the my God, album book to look at it and see, oh, I got this right, I got this wrong, and everything. So when I was about 15, I started in English classes, formal English classes, but it didn't came to mind to work with languages. I went to college to study journalism. I have a degree, a bachelor's in journalism. And but I didn't it didn't happen to for me. So I didn't manage to get a job or anything. And I swear that's exactly how it happened. I was walking down my street, and I met a friend that I hadn't seen, I mean, forever. And she came up, I was talking to her and said, oh my God, I can't get a job and my degree, nothing, mean nothing. And she looks at me, you speak English, don't you? And I go, yeah, why? You can go and get a bachelor's and become a translator, and then a whole new world was in front of me. Oh my God, that's really something someone has to do. Because many times I guess nowadays with the internet, not so much, but back then, we are talking 2002, people didn't realize that you needed someone to do that. And I went to college again to get a bachelor, but not specifically in translation. I went to do Portuguese and English. And my first semester, I got an internship here. And this was November 2002. And then I was an intern, a translator, a reviewer, and then a project manager. So here we are.
Everything in the same company.
Yes, 22 years almost.
There's got to be a secret about this company that everybody goes and stays there. So
Stay.
who's going to tell me about that, Julia? Or and both of you have to talk about it, I suppose, because Julia came a little bit later. But let's talk about the company then, that it's such a special place. I don't know anything about it either. So let's all see what the story is, that this magical place where people go for the first time and never leave. So what's the story? Who I know we could have had the founder here, but she was busy with something else, obviously. And she wasn't able to attend, but let's talk a little bit about her and how she created this magical place where people go and never leave. So, Julia, what's the original story?
Well, actually, I think that in this case, Fernanda can
Oh,
say
so
it better
Fernando
because
was there from
she
the beginning?
was she forgot to mention that she was the first intern here.
Oh,
So that's
okay. So
she
in that
knows
case, if she's
the
seen
story
everything
of the
from
whole company.
okay, so she's part of the whole thing. So we have to go back
She is, yeah.
to
She saw
Fernanda.
it. Yeah.
All right, so what happened? Was she a translator who decided to have a company or to form a group of translators to take on bigger projects? What's the original story of the company, the beginning, the prehistory?
Well, Gisela, our boss, she was a translator. She was an intern in IBM, that I'm sure, and then she was a translator in Xerox. So, because they had an internal translation department, because Xerox is really a pioneer in so many things. The mouse they created, the machine translation started there. So they had this, but there was a time that came that they said, well, we are going to finish the internal translation department, and you need to, if you are now become freelancers.
So they
But we
came up with
need,
the idea of them becoming freelancers, not themselves.
yeah, yes. So to be able to work with them, because they had to I'm not sure how to say that in English, because she needed to send a nota fiscal. So
Oh, the
I
invoices. They need to send the invoices.
got, yes, and she needed to be a company, so she founded the company. Then she started to getting more jobs,
So
and
she
she
found the company herself, right? She was the sole proprietor, and she was also the translator herself and the project manager and everything for this client specifically.
Sometimes her husband would help her with anything or something, but she was the company was her. And then she realized that she needed help, so she started recruiting interns. And I was the first one, as Julia said. I was the first one, and that is a small detail, fun fact, if you will. I started working at her home.
Oh.
I started working at her house, her apartment. There was She had an office, and we worked side by side. So when she already had the office, but she needed renovation and stuff. And then, I guess 3 months or maybe a little less, we worked from her home, and then we both went to the office. And then there
But how
was,
did she recruit you? Was it an ad on the paper? Was it someone you
yes,
knew?
an ad on the paper. Yes, an ad on the paper. Yes, I'm proving. I'm old.
I said it because it was a possibility, obviously.
It was really interesting because everything fell into place. It was really fun because this girl comes up to me that I didn't see, and I've never seen her again. 22 years, I've never
She was
seen
like an
her
angel.
again.
She only came to give you the message.
Yes, and she came. She said, "Oh, become a translator." And I, well, okay. I
I'll
went
do
to
that.
college, and I mean, I started the classes in August. In November, I was already at the company because I was
Because you
looking.
all also had another degree, so you were already more mature. You knew what you wanted, right? So it was a bit different.
Yes, and then I looked in the paper. Every Sunday I was there looking at it, and wow, it's specifically translation. That's what I want. And
And she
then
was
I
your
started
neighbor,
to
by the looks of it, right? I mean, sort of, at least if you could go to her house. So you lived close to each other, no?
yes, we
For
still do
Brazilian
actually.
standards.
Yes. She has moved since then, but she still lives close. And it was interesting because we were like the both of us and Then when we went to the office, there was another one. Not everyone stays, but people usually stay along here. So they stay a while. So we have our I'm sorry, but I call them my babies. Julia is included in that because I help to train them.
Well
I help to train them. So when I see them take flight and I'm like, wow, I helped that. I have a part in
done.
that. So
Yeah.
it
Yeah,
was,
wow, I love it.
yes,
So,
it's
Julia, was
fun.
it something like that too? Was it in another on the paper? No, right?
No, actually, when I got here, Gisley had a kind of a partnership with my college because in Brazil that were today, I don't know actually, but there were at the time only two bachelor's degree courses in translation specifically. So she partnered with the college here in Rio. And then she recruited all the students that needed to take an internship because we were obliged to do an
Yeah,
internship to
it was
practice
part of the
the.
degree.
Yeah. So she recruited me. And then I stayed for some time as an intern. And by on my last semester at the college, we had a problem with the schedule, and they put me on a different class that messed my whole schedule, and I wouldn't be able to be here anymore. But I wanted to be here, so I came to her and I
We
said,
all want
okay,
to be there, apparently.
yeah, what can we do? Because I really want to stay here. But I just can't stay as an intern anymore. So what do we do? And then she said, okay, you can work from home and be a translator. We called dedicated because we had disagreement with our freelancers and the talent team that we provide translations and projects on a daily basis, and they provide availability to help us, right? So we have this agreement. So that was me for like a year maybe. And then came the pandemic. And during the pandemic we had a crazy volume, right, Fernando? It was insane, like lots and lots of work. So she was needing a project manager, and then I think, I'm not sure now, Fernanda can confirm, but I think that Fernanda went to her and like, okay, Julia, I think Julia has the potential. I think she's sell me out, sold me out. What,
So
am
she's
I right
responsible for
or
many things, Fernanda.
Yes, I did. I said, I think she has what it takes. Why can't we just give her a chance? So here we are. Yeah,
So
that's
now I've
it.
been a
And that's
project manager for 4 years or so.
yeah, that's it. Yeah,
So,
next, yeah,
after being
four.
a translator, how did you feel about this transition? I mean, when you were an intern, you might have seen how it works, right? The project management part of things. But then you become more of a translator, I suppose.
Yeah, we all went through the phase of translating that really today it's not what we do in it's not our main role, but you kind of do it, of course. But what I think about this company is that you have the ability to grow, you know? So you don't stay at one comfort zone. So you have the ability to grow. She lets you grow. So it's nice. This was good for me. And now, actually, I think also Fernanda has the same. that thinks the same, that today project management, it's much better than translation.
Well,
But yeah.
absolutely. It's my
So
favorite thing
how
to
did
do.
you? I understand. So how did you adapt, Julia? Was it like, oh, I really enjoy this the minute you started working on it, and you were like, yeah, Fernanda, she was spot on, and I really wanted this. It's exactly what I want for my life. Is that how it happened? Or was it
No,
like
I
in the
really like
beginning?
it. No, I was totally lost at the beginning. But Fernanda helped me a lot. And also the timing was kind of off because there were a great volume of work. So it was kind of crazy, quite insane to get there and know nothing at that time. So it was nice though, now when I look back,
You already had your
because
friends with you, people who you know that were going to support you. So it's
yeah,
different from just.
and the ability to grow on a company, it's nice because when you reach a higher level, you already know well the clients. So this is nice. Like I had all the clients I worked with as a translator are now my clients as a project management, a project manager. So I'm able to understand them better, you know, because I had the opportunity to read all the reference materials and I am used and familiar with them. So I think that's a bonus when you get to the position of project management. Because you are able to understand better the client.
That's true. So, Fernanda, now that you have been in the industry for over 20 years, it sounds strange, huh? But I know. I know. For me, it's about 25. So it's like, oh my God, what happened? And I feel this young. Thank you so much.
You are a bit a little more time than I am, so.
Yeah,
I guess
maybe I'm
it's
older.
it doesn't no, that's not what I said. You're more experienced.
Right. Well, I'm 46. I'm 46. So
I'm 45, so
I well, it's the same thing. So now that you've been in the industry for over 20 years, huh? How do
yes.
you feel about this specific role that, like I say, for me, it's like the person, like it's the role that has the 360 vision that everybody wants to have. So I always say, don't go anywhere without your project managers or without someone who has a really, really specific idea on what project managers do, because the input of a project manager can make all the difference in the world, even at the time when you're negotiating with a prospect, a new client, anyone who is either experienced or brand new in this language deal of things, right? So I believe this deeply. I always say it everywhere. So if someone is not sure what being a project manager means in this industry, what do you have to say, Fernanda? What is the job of a project manager in a translation company?
Well,
Well,
in
we will
our
stay here
case,
the whole day because there are it's
so many
everything, right? Well,
we have
we
so
have
much
time. We have time.
to do. Well, it's like you said, we have the 360. We need to be someone that at the same time, we need to be attentive to detail, but we need to have the big picture too, because we need to think, oh my, this can happen, or this we need to that there's the specific works of every linguist, and I guess oh that linguist she works better at night, so I need to have her deadlines later so she can do this because this one is early, and then that one works better in the morning. And we have this, and I love it because it keeps me, it keeps me on my toes, you know. And you said, oh, we have the 360 vision and we have the 360 meeting too, because there's the clients in one ear and there's the linguist in the other, and we have to make that balance between them, because sometimes the client is not satisfied with it, and we have to be like super diplomatic and finding out if what we can do to help, what we can do to be better. And sometimes the linguist, oh my God, I had an emergency and I need to get this, give you back this project. Julia has a couple linguists that do that, they used to do that to her a little bit too often. And that's terrible because you need to think really fast what we'll do, because the deadline is approaching and you can't disappoint the client. I mean, I love it.
It's a strategy job, right?
Yes,
it's like a cold war zone sometimes, but at the same time, it's also because it's technical, right? People sometimes don't even realize that when you receive the materials from the client, you will receive many possible things, right? So you have to have that technical flexibility of understanding what comes to you and what you can do with it. And then it depends on what kind of project, right? How many steps is involved? So this workflow, defining what's happening, and then managing people on top of this, because really it's the job where you, above all, everything is very important, but I would say that the core capacity or ability that you have to have is actually to manage people in a way that they don't even realize that they're being managed, right? Because it seems like we're only talking about rates and deadlines, but it's a lot more than that. So it's funny that you said that, you know, that this one works better at 9 in the morning, something like that. So I used to know a lot about the private lives of the people I worked with. And I worked in this, in some of the largest companies in the world, obviously, but still you had a really, really personal approach. This is why I say that it's a lot of technical things that you have to know, but it's a people's oriented job, right? It's a people oriented job. It's like you work with people, for people, depending on people, right?
Yes, I have this philosophy with me. The when Julia came on as a project manager, I said that to her. People don't like being treated as numbers. You don't need to become friends with your linguists, but acknowledge them as human beings, you know? And that makes your job easier, in my opinion. And sometimes I have one or two that cross the line that think they're too, oh, we are friends. I can send you messages like at midnight asking about a project. No, you can't. I mean, I love you. We are friends. We go out for beers or something, but no, you can't come to my phone at like midnight asking me talking about work. No, 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 no. I had that happen to me, but I put a limit on it and it hasn't happened since.
Yeah, but it's still very personal, right? Because even if you don't do any of that stuff, which you shouldn't do with friends or anybody else, but the truth is that you have to kind of understand what they want and what they need to make sure that they perform at their best level also, right?
Yeah,
so you
exactly.
need to be there for them somehow. That's how I feel, right? We need to be there for them and for them to know that if there's a problem, we should be the first person to know, because we're going to feel the impact before everybody else, right? So we need to think what we're going to do. We have to have a strategy if something happens with the project, while you already know that it cannot be delivered on that day or that time or all of that, right? So there's a lot of all of that management of emotions and all of that involved, right? Don't you feel that way? I'm sure you do.
Yes, because as I said, we need to know every quirk, because you sometimes realize that they are having a tough time at their personal lives. So, oh my God, I can't just dump something this big on them, so I have to split. And okay, how about I can translate 5,000 words that they know, 3,000, and that's much, because I know who you are, you know. And that's that, you know. I like to I I really like to get to know them exactly because of that, because sometimes you receive, I'm sure you had that in your time. Oh, we had a huge heads up. So I need to know how many post-editing words you can do one day. Oh, I can do 8,000 words. No, you can't. I've been a translator. I know you can't, at least not in the college we expect. So they are expecting to get 8,000 a day. I've sent like 3,000, 4,000 maybe, but never this much. So it
So
helps
that's
to
when
have been
your
a.
experience in the industry, in
Yes,
other
I will.
roles.
Yes, that helps a lot. I say that to Julia a lot. I say, oh, they think I
So
was born yesterday, but I think I know every
been around.
excuse under the sun. I've been around, not my first rodeo.
Yeah, for sure. So Julia, Julia, what do you think Fernanda thought about you to think that you had the profile? I know that there's a lot of conversation about profiles in the industry or any other industry, but here we all say, what's the profile for a vendor manager? What's the profile for a good freelancer? What's
Oh.
the profile for I won't say that, for a good project manager, because there's a lot to say about what a good whatever is, right? But what do you think were your features? I wouldn't even say qualities, because sometimes our faults are also positive for other people. So what
Yeah.
were your features that you think made Fernanda and Gisley think that you would be the next project manager that they could hire?
Well, first of all, I stayed at the company, working at the company without seeing Fernanda for a long time because she already worked remotely. So, my project manager was another person at the time. So, like for the majority of time, I was an intern. I had little contact with Fernanda. But after I became a freelancer, I worked a lot for her, and I think that some qualities that maybe now that I'm a project manager that maybe she saw and think that it would be a good quality for a project manager was that I was always really strict with deadlines and kind of organized, of course, because we have to be organized to deliver things on time. I was kind of calm also, maybe. And the thing that I had the familiarity already with the clients. So I think that helps a lot when you become a project manager.
Yeah,
That, well,
that's right.
she can add to this, but I think that maybe that's it. And also, I already knew the whole team, so I really like the personal aspect. Also, is one of my favorites, the ones you were saying. And since I came into the company, I always like it to gather people, put everybody together, kind of have little parties. I'm the party girl. So after now. The majority of time, everyone works remotely. So this is kind of boring sometimes, you know, because you maybe just want to gossip, just want to,
And I guess
get
that's why I
together.
saw your photos at all those international gatherings that we have now, women
Yes.
in tech, women in localization. And let's focus a little bit on that women on localization thing, because it's a brand new group. I really should invite them to come on the podcast. I bet they're great. I heard some of the names. They have to be amazing. So, what's your involvement with women in localization? And is it because of the party or something else?
Well, actually, WordLink, represented by Gisley there, she's at the board of the Brazilian chapter that has just launched l last month, April. We are really happy about it because it's a great initiative. And she is the manager of social media there. So, WordLink as a whole, this is also a thing that I really like in this company, that's Gisley always thinks it's really important to be a member of the associations, you know. So this is really nice. We are a member of a few associations. So it is really great because you get to know people from the industry, and we are able to network and know what's happening, you know, because sometimes we just stay here at our bubble and okay, oh my god, this month where's the work, where are everybody, what's happening? And then you go to a conference and you are able to talk to other people and other companies, and this is so enriching. So actually, this is something I think that my party mode kind of helped me, because Gisley kind of saw that in me, that I liked it. And I attended Juntos in March in Peru. And it was really nice to get to know all the people there and to interact with other people on the industry. We did also a workshop on sales, inbound sales, from Renato Beninato. It was great. So when I came back, I gathered the team and I talked to them, and I said, okay, we are the heart of the company as project managers. So what can we do to convert this in a better relationship to our clients? And how can we prospect more clients? So we started a whole revolution here to start get new clients and see what can we provide better for the ones we already have. So I think for a company, any size, actually, it's really important, but especially in our size, it is really important. You can get personal to the PMs that you work with, to the vendors. So it's not only, we are not a mediator, you know, we need this to have this relationship with our clients. And this is something I think it's very important. And being able to be a part of so many associations, it's really enlightening for us in this matter.
So you, Fernanda, you're also happy with this situation, I suppose.
Yes, I'm not as active as Julia, because I'm a little bit more on the shy side. So I like to be here. But I really see the potential, and I see like this is a very... very good way to, because as she said, we can't be like in our bubble all the time. We need to know what's going on around us so we can work better and get to watch this some webinars or some online presentations and everything, and a whole new world there in front of us to help us be better, to help us to work better. So it's something that I really appreciate.
So the company is about 22 or 3 or 4 years old, right?
I think 25.
Okay,
I'm
so we started
sure,
at the same time, I suppose, the company and I. right. So is there, what kind of company are you? Are you like a single language provider? Are you a single vertical provider? You focus on certain verticals. Let's talk shop, like they say, just for a single minute to see, because it's interesting for people to get to know also what the company does. Now that they know that they have some of the best project managers out there, obviously, let's see.
Obviously,
what they do and who they with. So what kind of, what kind of verticals, what kind of clients? Is it more local clients, international clients, you know, big brands, smaller boutique brands? So what's your specialization as an LSP?
Well, we as an LSP, the majority of our clients are huge LSPs. So also the majority of them are outside Brazil. We have really, I don't know how many, we have just a few Brazilian clients. So All of them are outside, and we focus on localization, transcreation, translation, of course, data service, and I mean, we have to adjust, right? We are going through a revolution in our industry, so we are making sure that we get up to date and that we get the most of information now as all the things that is going on with the AI.
Yeah, that's also
and
the role of associations, right? It's one of the reasons why we need to be a part of things and all of that. But is it more like IT oriented? Is it more life sciences in that kind of way? So what kind of big subjects do you work with? Or is it more because it's a single language, or do you have other languages? Is it all for Brazilian Portuguese, or what do you do in
terms
of?
We have a team that we serve some other language pairs also in a smaller scale, but the majority of it, it's of the work we have is technical translation. So yes, a lot of AI, IT, oh my God.
IT.
IT, yes. Lots of IT, also medical. What else, Fernanda?
We have a lot of marketing, a lot of websites, instruction manuals. We have packaging. We work, Gigi always made a point that we didn't, we, since we were back 20 years ago, she made it, always made a point that we wouldn't, we couldn't be working with one subject. No, we're not. We can't, we had need to be broad. And then we are, we have people that can, are specializing in legal, people in medical sciences. We have our people in IT and marketing, and we had oil and gas at a smaller scale. And we work at, we say, if we, we can, we see that we have a professional that can help you, and you have enough reference material and enough instructions for us, it can help you.
So it's more like an open or a broader view of the industry,
yes,
not necessarily
yes.
focusing on, because you already focus specifically, I mean, mostly on Brazilian Portuguese, so that's a focus, right?
Yes.
Exactly. Well, it is also, that's one of the advantages of being attending all the events on the field, on the industry, because we are able also to connect with talented people that can work for us on different fields, and then we can enlarge what we provide, the kind of work we provide. So this is also really nice.
Yeah, it's true. So you gave me a lot of ideas about people and subjects to talk about for future episodes, so I thank you. And before I go, I want to say that I read also that you either have launched recently or are about to launch your newsletter. Is that right?
Yes, that's
so, Fernanda, have you,
my,
have you, Fernanda is like,
my
well,
baby
social
project.
Stuff.
Yes, we did. It's Julia's project. She's the
it's
one
because,
that
that's
made
because
it.
I am really active on social media, and I'm putting the company to also be really active. And we have another project manager also, and I'm just constantly teasing them, like, please, you just have to appear, just one little video, you know?
Oh, that's why they didn't want to join.
Yes. So
some
yeah,
people are
now
like,
we have
so it's a, there's a newsletter already out or about to come out.
It is out. Yeah, we launched it May. So the idea is to do it monthly, and also there are some other projects that we are working on, like the newsletter, but I think it's a way to connect with people, because I don't know if you read it, but we
Not
are talking, yeah, we are talking about what we are up to, and we have pictures of our team, which is, I think it's really nice, and we are working on having meet the team column each month so we can present our team for you in a more personal level. So the idea is this, just to connect both with clients and our talent people and also anyone that is on the LinkedIn, please just follow our newsletter. But yeah, that's the idea, just to connect to get more personal.
Sounds really good. Well, I know it sounds like we just started talking, but we haven't. It feels
Well,
that
have
way,
to
but
make
it's not true.
a new one. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Well, there's lots of time for us to come back and do other things and have other guests and for you to ask other guests to come and join you. So, it is, I love that. Sometimes it's like people who have been on the podcast last year have been back many times, which is fine and great because I think that's the way it is. Because being on a podcast, like I always say, it's not only because it's going to be, give you some visibility and give you the experience of being in a podcast, even if Fernanda apparently is almost at the pop level status because she's been on many podcasts, but
Yes.
it's also a way for us to get to know each other and become somehow, right? So it's all there's always a lot in it for me, I have to say. So that's really, when I say I keep talking about the advantages of having a podcast, is that I get to know people on a different level because I get to spend some time with them. And usually I consider this to be quality time. Even if it's a bit public, we still basically have the conversation that we want. So
Yes.
I think that's how it goes. So if you guys ever want to come back because you have a new project, a new reason to come back, then I'm always open to that. Obviously, with other people, with the same people, new projects, same projects, always open. So be my
Great.
guest. Thank you so much for this, guys. It was amazing to get to meet you and getting to know a little bit of the company, right? So we will see what the future brings. We will all follow your newsletters. We will all see you in the events, right? When you go to your Women in Localization stuff and all of that, and as
Yes.
everybody should. So thank you so much for this, and I see you very soon.
Thank you,
Thank you.
Rita.
Thank you so much, you guys. Bye-bye.